This is the news according to me. Back one more time for the final show of the week. The last show of the week. And oh, what a week it has been. We have, a lot of things going on. You know, if I didn't know any better, now I produced my show this morning around a little later than I seem to be having problems getting up in the mornings because I wake up in the middle of the night and I end up looking through stuff and putting stuff together and seeing what's going on in the news and seeing some of the headlines, some of the things think people are posting. And then I go back to sleep and I don't wake up until like 8 o'clock, which is, and I used to get up early anyway, but so now I get up like at four, or I wake up at four doing my stuff there because I got all these electronic gadgets beside the bed there. And I have some peach flavored hot sweet tea here, peach flavored. Ah, yes. I'm not trying to imitate Steven Crowder, but yeah. So, yeah, I do that kind of stuff. And then I end up not waking up as early as I would like, because I'd like to get this thing in the can by 8 o'clock in the morning, really. I'd like to be able to produce it, at least be, behind the microphone by 8 o'clock so that it's out there by 9 o'clock. Theoretically, I'd like to be able to get this thing in the can by 8 o'clock because that way, it's out there and people who are driving to work can listen to it in the morning if they go to work that late. People in this area go to work at about 6 o'clock in the morning because there are a lot of factories in this area that work really early. Especially the RV industry is big in this area. And they are people who get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning and then they've already got a screw gun in their hand by 6 o'clock, sometimes 5 o'clock. So anyway, the interesting little side note about Indiana. Indiana once again, fourth straight year in a row, in spite of this, all the stuff that's going on, increased in 2020 its share of the manufacturing industry. Think about that. In a year that's been in such decline. So anyway, and a great deal of that's because of the RV industry. Because actually the RV industry, surprisingly enough, everything always seems to hit the RV industry about it once every 5 or 6 years. The industry takes a nosedive. And it's usually energy related. And of course, now this in the last couple of years, the price of gas, last 4 years, really, the price of gas has been pretty stable and it's actually come down quite a bit. We haven't had this $4 a gallon gasoline here in Indiana like we had. That's the highest I've ever seen it. It was just over $4 a gallon. I think it might have gone close to $5. But, and out west in California, that's probably pretty much every day, $5 a gallon, I suppose. I don't know. Who knows? That gets into a whole thing about how they hide taxes in the gallon. How states love to hide taxes within the gallon of gas. But they, and that's what they do everywhere. But some states are worse than others. And so the price of gas has come down because we are now energy independent. So the what goes on in the world doesn't affect us as much here with the price of gas. The gallon of, or the barrel of oil is not as effective. Price of gas went down to almost $1 a gallon there for a while. Now it's back up to, around a little over $2 a gallon. And the economy hasn't really come back in a huge way. So when it does, there's going to be a higher demand and there's going to be, once again, and of course now with this new administration, they're going to start cracking down, especially not so much with Biden, believe it or not, because big oil still plays a big part in his portfolio. And what I mean by that is his lobbyists, not his investment portfolio, which is also a part of it. But now, commie, is not going to be that way. You're going to see a shift to letting the squad do a lot more radicalization under commie. So we'll see what happens there. Anyway, And you never know. She might be two-faced enough to just do whatever she had to do to get elected, and then who knows. So the interesting, well, I was talking about, you know, Rush Limbaugh, listening to him this afternoon. He was on, actually, once. It was his birthday this week, so I don't know. He was taking some time off, but he's getting some extra additional rest. I always hate it when I don't hear him coming on, because I just want to be able to. He sounded strong today, so that was good. And he went right down the list of everything I put on the show this morning. So I'm kind of wondering if he's not a subscriber and he's getting his show prep from me. I got a good laugh out of that thought, because you know that's not the case. But he, you know, just it's just the news cycle. It's just the same similar things that are going on. But it's kind of funny to hear him talking about things that I talked about on the show this morning. Anyway, I got the show put out there a little bit later than normal, and it didn't get on Facebook and Twitter. Now I got some good news. I did establish a Gab account for the News According to Me. Now, the name is The News According to, and the 2 is the number 2. So it's The News According number 2, Me. It's all one word, The News According to Me. And the plan is that we will be posting the podcast live on Gab. My understanding is Gab is overrun right now with bandwidth, because there it's hard. It's sometimes it'll boot you off and some other things are happening. Some weird things are happening. I'm trying to get some pictures on there and complete the profile and all that stuff. And it's been a little bit slow. So I'm going to keep, I might try to do that in the middle of the night tonight when it's the bandwidth's not such a big issue, or maybe tomorrow morning when I wake up at 4 o'clock. But the issue is, I believe you can live stream on Gab. Now I'm not going to do it through. I'm probably going to do it through an iPhone, just for the sake of data and the speed that the phone can do it with. So it's not really going to be this big production with a lot of video and a lot of show. It's just going to be me and Rabbi Rick behind a microphone, or possibly just a picture. But at least you can hear it live. You can call in live. You can actually, I think you can text and message live, so we can watch the live stream text messages fly by and try to do that. So that might be kind of fun. So I'm going to get that worked up here in probably the next week. It's probably not going to be, well, it could happen as early as next week at some point. Not going to be Monday, maybe it will. I don't know. So just stay tuned for that. And now, by the way, so if you want to get on Gab, you have to go to, it's a website. So there's no app for Gab, because they went through this whole thing that Parler went through a while back, a few years ago. So they have their own servers. They have their own website. Now, there is some talk, and this is how crazy this has gotten. There is some talk of deplatforming them by taking away their DNS, which is their domain name. This is where we're going with this stuff. This is getting to the point of, you know, you comply with their beliefs and then we'll have unity. In fact, there's a whole bunch of Hollywood folks that are planning on being at the inauguration. Now, I thought the inauguration was going to be virtual. I don't understand how this is going to work. So they're going to have this inauguration, and my understanding is that we've got all these, you know, singers, and I think Lady Gaga and all these people are going to be there singing. Madonna will be there, I'm sure, singing about something. Who knows? And I guess Tom Hanks came out and said something. I think I wrote it down. What did he write? Let's see if I got it written down here. I jotted it down what I heard him say. I don't see it there. Here it is. Yeah. Tom Hanks, I think, is the one who said it. He said they're coming together to celebrate. They're going to celebrate coming together to heal. going to celebrate coming together to heal. And talk about all of the Trump supporters being terrorists and anti-American, ironically enough. Now, there's been a lot of interesting things that have popped up throughout the last few hours that have come up in some of the information. Now, I've talked a little bit about how the FBI, for one thing, okay, let's just sum up the whole week here real quickly. We've talked about a lot of stuff this week. A lot of stuff has gone on, and there's in the, the whole impeachment thing was done. The congressional hearings that were happening, all the things that were being said, the media and everything that they did. I talked a little bit about John Sullivan. I talked about him a little over a week ago, right after the Capitol event. He is now getting implicated in with the CNN group. Apparently they, of course, I think it was Shepard Smith, had a little interview with him, with John Sullivan. And John is on video talking about how fake he is, or how he fakes being a Trump supporter and he fakes being a journalist to be able to get into these places. And he was walking around acting like he was a journalist. He had his camera with him, and then he would, he also had his Trump hat on or whatever he had on. Whatever, I can't remember what he had. But he was faking the whole thing. But he is a very staunch, I'll use the word staunch, BLM activist. And I guess he has been involved a little bit with Antifa. I didn't realize he had been, but there's some evidence now that apparently he is part of an anarchist group within Antifa, or is loosely associated with some Antifa activity. Now, along that route, I have discovered some things today that not all of the violent activity and not all of the conflicts and things being done and said were anti-government or anti-Trump people. And so I want to be very clear here. There were some people there who are on record stating that they were intending to go in and hurt some congressional individuals. And whether or not they're Trump supporters is still a little bit unclear, but they do consider themselves as being mad about the election being, what happened to the election and everything that was going on, and they see that the only cure is to get rid of these people. Now, they, So that's for the trials to be. And of course, the trials that are going to be, we've got a lot of things happening that are going to come up in the news, and the news cycle will be real interesting over the next month as these people go to trial. And the way they cover some people and don't cover other people, the way some people are given a pass and other people are not given a pass. Because, we've got this media that covers things up or covers for people or ignores certain stories and pushes others. They are still making a mockery of the Hunter Biden issue. Now, keep in mind that the Justice Department has been sitting on his laptop for, not literally sitting on it, but they've been holding onto his laptop for over a year, well over a year. They knew about all this stuff. It was right after Joe won the primary. I do air quotes when I say won the primary, because that was kind of a selection as well. And in fact, some of the other candidates were complaining about believe it or not, they were complaining about the voting machines in some of the states. Elizabeth Warren had some issues, and a couple other candidates had issues about some of the states about the selection results. So we have this issue now of the Justice Department was on board, already had all of the stuff that was happening with the Hunter Biden deal, and everything was kept quiet. News media didn't say anything about it. Now, you realize this, and whether you're on the left or not, left or right, you have to admit, at least acknowledge, that had it been Donald Trump Jr.'s laptop that was found with all this information on it and pictures and all this stuff that was going on there, do you think that CNN, MSNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, any of those people would have just sat on that and not done anything, said anything about it, covered it up? Or even when they did acknowledge it, it's all Russian disinformation and it's all been debunked. Do you think those statements would have been coming out of their mouth? Honestly, seriously. But then right after the election, they all of a sudden we have a special counsel to investigate Hunter Biden. Now, I don't exactly understand. Please explain to me how, okay, if I had a laptop with the stuff on it that Hunter Biden has on it, I'd be sitting in prison. Like, if they found it today, I'd be in prison tomorrow. That would be my permanent address for a long time. There wouldn't need to be a special counsel because the evidence is overwhelming. I mean, it's overwhelming. And what more are they going to establish with a special counsel? Now, this gets back to something I talked about early on in the beginning of this podcast. Not today, but like at the birth of this podcast. I talked about how the Justice Department, the powers that be, those at the top, they like to use the information to manipulate people. And so this, when they launch these special counsels, they launch a special investigation, it gives them the right or the ability, the tools, all of the funding, the budget to dig and dig and dig and dig into someone's life for a long time. And they're able to come up with all kinds of dirt on somebody. Isn't it interesting how the Durham report, he investigated and investigated for about a year, seemed like it was forever, investigated for a long time. And guess what? At the end of it all, there's nothing to see here. Now, how much stuff do you suppose he stuck away in the gunny sack of, look at all the stuff I found? You have to wonder how much he found that is now just being stored away and used for, future political purposes. Not purposes, but purposes. So those are all the things that really disturb me in terms of the way our Justice Department works and the way they manipulate the people around them. These unelected bureaucrats that are pulling the strings and the reins, have the reins of the people who, now, granted, these people put the bit in their mouth and they play the game. They know, because they're swayed by the voters with regard to having their public, what they think is their public image tarnished. Whereas, Trump, that was the thing they didn't have on Trump. That was the problem they had with Trump was he didn't care about his public image. He was pretty much living out there anyway. And what you saw is what you got. He really didn't have anything to hide. He was a guy who just kind of told it like it was and lived out there and let it all hang out kind of guy. And so if you didn't like it, he won in spite of all that. And because the American people are pretty forgiving. They're more concerned about the bottom line and somebody's just being who they are. We really would rather accept somebody warts and all than have some polished person that you kind of wonder what's going on behind the scenes, which is 99% of the politicians out there. And that's why, you know, that's why Trump did the non-establishment thing, won. And Bernie was even perceived as non-establishment. However, nobody ever really questioned that because he had been part of the establishment since he was like 30 years old or something. He was living in his mom's basement until he didn't really have a job. He never produced anything, didn't really have a job at all until he went into politics. So you talk about establishment. He grew up in the system. He'd been a politician almost all of his working life. So he was not non-establishment. He might have been anti-typical establishment, or he might have been, you know, kind of the cross current to some of the establishment stuff, but he was still a part of the establishment. Look at the way he just kind of rolled over after Hillary was selected to win in 2016 for the primary. He just kind of gave up and just went along with it. Didn't put up any kind of any knew full well what had happened there. It was stolen from him. But so you got all this stuff going on, and so here we are today. And you know, I listened to this is so difficult to listen to. I listened to Don Lemon with CNN, and he was talking about these guys that had busted into one of them used a United States flag, a U.S. our current flag. With the flagpole, the thing to hold up the flag, it's like a hand-holding pole, used it to beat Capitol Police. And he got into a scuffle with Capitol Police at the door and was hitting him over the head and hitting them. Now, nobody in that scuffle got injured permanently. So... or significantly. However, this guy, and then there's also another guy walking around in the Capitol with a rebel flag, the Confederate battle flag, which, by the way, was a Democrat flag at its time. It was a flag from the Democrats, and no, the parties did not switch. So, they flipped. Tell me exactly when the policy was that it flipped everything. So it flipped. People say it flipped because that's what they tell you to say. Because now they're telling you that it flipped. They like to rewrite history. I don't know if you've ever understood that, but the left loves to rewrite history. The day after it happens, they rewrite history, and they're very selective on who they call into their historical process. And with all the digital stuff that's going on now, it's very easy to change things. We used to have books that were written on pages, and it was kind of difficult to go out and get all the books and change them all. Now you can just change one little thing online. You can change something on Wikipedia, and all of a sudden, you've changed a person's entire history. Oh, well, that's what it says. They did this from 82 to 83, and now they're doing this and they're doing that. But that wasn't what happened, but they just can kind of change stuff. And if there's nobody there to... If they have control of it in terms of, and that's a whole other thing, like Google is able to redirect search engine information. So they can make you look good or make you look bad by directing certain things. Like if you look up, you know, Hunter Biden's laptop on Google, it's probably going to give you maybe one or two stories, and the rest of it's all going to be other gobbledygook that has nothing to do with it. And if you go to DuckDuckGo or some of these other places, you can get, you know, there's other browsers out there, I guess, that are much better. And I typically use Bing, which I know is also, I think it's Microsoft, I guess, which probably isn't any better. But you know, I do have DuckDuckGo. I've just kind of looked at that recently. Might start using that more. I guess there's a huge difference in the kind of results you get from one to another. So it'd be interesting to find out. But that's what we're up against here. We're up against a sea of this, you know, one of the other big things in this week in the news has been the whole thing with the silencing of the president in terms of Twitter and social media. which should be more considered more of a town square than a, it gets back to, we kind of joked about it. Rick and I were talking yesterday, Rabbi Rick and I were talking at the, in the phone call about how, if these guys used their cell phones to communicate with each other and they have Cellular One as their provider, how is that any different than using Twitter or Parler or anything else to communicate? However, they did not use Parler to set up any of these events, any of these protest things in terms of the violent ones, those who were violent. So how is that any different? If they can determine that they use their cell phone to send a text message, that's a platform. And I don't want to go too far into this because they're going to get some ideas about how they can start to monitor that and start to, shut you off. So, yeah, we're getting in a crackdown world. And this gets back to, this is a good lead in to another thing. I'm going to be launching another podcast, and this podcast has to do with conspiracy theories. The podcast name is just called Conspiracy with a question mark. I'm kind of a conspiracy debunker. I consider myself more of a conspiracy theory debunker. And so but there are some conspiracies out there that have some credibility. And then this is all revolving around a book that I'm working on as well, just to kind of give you a clue of what's happening coming up. Working on a book called Conspiracy with a question mark. And it's going to be about, the end of it draws some conclusions as to what's going on and who's really behind everything. Because I think I have some insight in some of that stuff. So, yeah. So there you go. Anyway, that's kind of the show for now. I don't really have much. This is kind of a anticlimactic show for the end of the week, but I don't have a whole lot of time to put a whole lot of things together, but if you can go back over and just listen to some of the other podcasts, if you missed anything this week, there wasn't anything really specifically time critical this last week. It'd be probably entertaining for you to go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. If you have a chance, just do a little binge listening. I think I've noticed that has been happening because I look at listenership and it looks like Saturday mornings, people just apparently are sitting down and listening to four or five episodes at a time, which is great. That's awesome. And I really appreciate it because it's been fun putting this together. It's been fun working with Rabbi Rick, and I really appreciate those of you who've shared. Again, on Gab now, you can find us there. The News According number 2, me, The News According to Me on Gab. And hopefully we'll have some live broadcasts on there. I'm going to start posting some of the episodes on there as well, from past episodes. And possibly have some live broadcasts there. Also, text in 574-742-6748. And text your questions or text when it's a good time. If you want us to call you, I'll give you a call. You can be live on the show, recorded live on the show. Or if we get our live broadcast, you can call in then. So God bless everybody. Shabbat shalom, and have a great weekend. Thanks for everything.